Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
An Erios production.
Menopause is coming and the men have all left town, but I'm not giving up until I see that baby crown. 39 and single, can someone help me out? He could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay to straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite, I just need sperm.
Hey everybody, here's the update. I'm 9 days past IUI number 4, and I feel nothing. And that's A-okay by me. Why is that okay? Because I don't have to think about it. I don't have anything reminding me that I'm in my 2-week wait. All I have to do is remember to take my progesterone 2 times a day and keep my feet warm, because, you know, that thing that I heard one time saying, warm feet, warm womb. Whatever, I'm doing that. But you know what I'm not doing? I'm not meditating with crystals or trying to manifest the appearance of my baby in my dreams. I'm not rubbing that weird necklace with the cross-legged, naked, pregnant lady on it and trying to communicate with my spirit guides. Maybe I should be. I don't fucking know. But maybe I'm okay just chillin'. I was going to go backpacking in the Sierras with my friend Trisha this weekend, and then she asked me, is it okay for you to be at high elevations? And I was like, yeah, I'm sure it's fine. She's like, you sure? It's going to be 10 or 11,000 feet. And I was like, I'm sure it's fine, but I'll ask my doctor anyway. Well, it's a good thing I asked, because he said it's absolutely not okay. Isn't that crazy? I had no idea. The thinking is that if you're lightheaded or short of breath or getting headaches, you're not getting enough oxygen, and in that case, neither is your baby. Not that I have a baby in there. I mean, I might. I'm not saying I don't, but I'm also not thinking about it. So what's the plan for the next few days? Am I going to test early? Will I test on day 14? What's going to drive me the least amount of crazy? I wrote this in my journal last night. I wrote, I don't want to test. I hate it. I figure I'll start spotting around day 12, and I guess if I'm spotting, I might as well take a test then. I don't feel pregnant in any way, shape, or form, and I'm happy about that. It softens the blow. I don't want the high expectations that come along with symptoms. The question really is, what's next if I'm not pregnant? IVF? Or wait for the chance of getting that grant and possibly saving thousands of dollars? Maybe I could do IUIs while I wait. Now let me explain that for a second. BabyQuest Foundation, which, ladies and gentlemen, maybe, I don't know, don't forget the application deadline is next week, September 5th. Anyway, BabyQuest Foundation will notify recipients of grants by November, and they don't pay for any procedures already done. Now, I'm not saying I even have a chance in hell of receiving a grant, but if there is a chance in hell that I have a chance in hell of receiving a grant, then the timing is definitely kind of tricky. I need to not be pregnant when they make their grant decisions, and I need to not be in the middle of a new cycle either. So how do I make that work if I only have like 2 days between cycles? Are people not supposed to keep trying when they're waiting to find out if they're getting a grant? If I'm not pregnant this round and I jump straight into IVF, I won't find out if I'm pregnant till maybe the middle of October. And I don't know if that'll be enough time for them in their decision-making process. And let's say I'm not pregnant this round and I decide to do another IUI in hopes of getting the grant down the road. Well, then I'll be finding out if I'm pregnant from that IUI at the end of September. And then, well, I won't know anything about the grant by then either. So would I start another IUI? Or wait so that I'm not in the middle of a cycle when they make their decisions? I don't know. I don't get it. I'm confused. Let's get back to my journal. I wrote, I'm leaning towards waiting. When I had my miscarriage, I wanted to start trying again immediately, and when I had my chemical pregnancy, I raced back from New York to LA early to make sure I didn't miss an opportunity to start IVF right away. My dreams were just out of reach, and I was racing to catch up. But time has slowed down a little bit since then. I don't have to hurry. I could just do IUIs forever and ever. Well, I don't know about that, everybody. I probably can't do them forever. But look, I don't need to think about any of this today. You know why? Well, because today I'm editing this podcast, that's why. And because it's my birthday week and I can think about whatever I want this week. Those are the rules. And what I want to think about is today's interview. Oh, wow. Before this interview, I was in a rough mood, y'all. I was crying in my car on the phone with a friend, whining and complaining about everything that you can think of. And when I walked into the Erio's office to see Amanda and my two guests, I immediately felt better. They are so funny and so caring, and guess what? I haven't shed a tear since that interview. Uh-oh, now you know I shed some tears in that interview. Well, look, don't get me wrong. I really wanted to cut them out, but I think some valuable insights were shared, so I dare not deprive you, my listeners, of the lessons I learned by talking it out. Amanda and I have two very fabulous guests today. Miranda Kent, whose Hello. Wedding I took photos of.
Beautiful
years ago.
Photos.
Gorgeous photos.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes. Beautiful, beautiful photos. They are. They
beautiful
are.
Wedding.
Yeah. Beautiful couple.
Aww.
And Danielle Weeks, who there's more to you, but I'll get to that
no, that's
in a minute.
Okay. We can get there later.
And then Danielle Weeks, who I used to be on an improv team with for like 7 years,
oh
probably.
Gosh.
I don't
know. That at least 5 to 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, DHT lasted for a while.
DHT.
But I left the last year or two.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
I think DHT was like 7 years, and yeah. So maybe you were 5 or 6.
I think I was.
Anyway, she's just so damn funny. Miranda's funny, too. These two grew up together. They're like besties, and yeah. They created a pilot called Baby Love, mm-hmm. and it is so, so, so funny, and it's available on the internet somewhere.
It is. It's available as a web series.
It is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
BabyLoveSeries.com.
BabyLoveSeries.com. It's
yeah.
so fucking funny.
We cut it up into 5 pieces.
Yeah. It started out as a pilot, and then we broke it up into a web series.
Yeah, we it got into South by Southwest this last year,
oh,
and
that's
screened,
great.
It screened there, yeah, which was really fun.
It was really fun.
And then we just wanted to kind of share it with people, and that felt like a good way to share it, was breaking it up into little pieces and
very smart.
Putting it online.
Yeah, very smart.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
We try to be smart.
And the two of you together, your dynamic is just... It's insanely wonderful.
Aww,
the way you guys, I mean, I'm sure most of those moments were improvised or no?
A lot of them were.
Yeah. Don't worry, it didn't seem unscripted.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Can you tell my listeners what the story is?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's about
two
best friends, unlucky in love.
And fertility.
Who decide to cut out the
middleman
and have a baby together.
Oh my
we did not
gosh.
Practice that, by
we
the way.
We didn't practice it.
What?
But, we've heard the long
yeah,
line enough
a lot
now
of
that we're like,
yeah.
it's like, yeah.
But yeah, so we wrote it.
We wrote it a while ago.
Ago.
Yeah, we
yeah.
wrote it like, what, 8 years ago
yeah.
or something?
Before either of you had babies.
Yes.
Wow.
Before. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
we didn't know if that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
we wrote it. We had written a lot of other stuff together, like more broad comedy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first thing that we were like, let's write something that's closer to us and sort of exaggerated versions of us, and something that would capture our friendship and something that we could kind of play inside of that felt a little more grounded. And so
and also
we
were both going through really
yes, both
really
deep
what?
Depressions.
Oh.
No, we were both like in our own weird single
yeah.
and sort of not sure where we were going and what was happening.
And Danielle and I have been single together before
yes.
and
oh
complained about it a lot. Well, not
Dodger
complained.
Stadium.
Yeah. Oh my God, Danielle.
Oh, man.
What
good
happened
times.
At Dodger Stadium?
Danielle dragged me to...
Wait a second. What?
Wait, Danielle
did I drag you or did you drag
to?
Me?
I didn't fucking know. Maybe Janelle dragged us.
Maybe it was Janelle dragged
oh,
us.
Oh,
yeah.
Our
Danielle
friend Janelle.
Would never drag
Although,
you
by
to
the way,
Dodger
it might have
game.
Been me. It might have
oh,
been.
Really?
Because I was trying to put myself out there.
Oh.
I mean, it worked for you, but let's get... Hold
well,
on.
It didn't work for me at Dodger Stadium.
Well, sort of. Okay, look.
Not really.
There's a lot of like looking at each other going on and innuendo.
Not that exciting.
It's not, no.
Danielle
not.
And I were dragged to, or she dragged me to...
A singles event.
A singles
at
fucking
Dodger
event
Stadium.
At Dodgers Stadium. It's the most terrible, embarrassing mm-hmm. thing.
Wait, what does that mean? A singles event? Like,
we had to
what?
Pay like $30
to
go hang out
in
this area with other...
With all these single
oh, no.
people. Yeah.
Sick.
And
an area.
And you know what? Maybe I did drag you because I dragged Aaron.
See?
Too, who is now my husband.
Oh,
sorry,
my
who's my best
God.
Friend
That's
at the
even...
time. But I dragged Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
I dragged our friend Janelle. I didn't drag you guys. You guys all willingly
Ew.
Came. It was fun. We were having fun.
I was
we're
not
all
willing.
Single.
I did
you know
not
what?
Want
we were all
to.
Single. We were like, let's just have fun and put ourselves out there.
Danielle wasn't willing either, I can tell you. I can guarantee you.
Oh, my God.
And we were just cringing the whole time, right?
It was
we were
so
standing in that area. I don't think
cringy.
Any of us talked to anyone else.
No.
We just sat there with our like weird warm beer, like
$10 beers.
Yeah. And I think we left pretty quickly. I mean, we maybe had a Dodger dog. And
I'm so embarrassed that we went to that.
Cut all this out. Just cut all this out. We don't want anyone to know about this. That's humiliating. But that was the night when Janelle was like, you already knew the whole spiel, but Janelle was like, pulled Aaron aside and was like, what's happening here? And he was like, nothing's happening. What do you mean?
Oh,
like, why aren't you guys together? And he was like, because what?
You know. He loved you.
Yeah,
the whole time.
Yeah,
he still does.
Oh, I hope so.
Danielle, he was in the friend zone or what?
Yeah, for 12 years.
For 20 years.
All right, 20 for, years for more 12, than 12.
It was 12 years. Are what you are you sure? talking about? 20 years.
It was
years?
Only 12 years. Yes, in friend it was, zone.
What do you mean only 12 years? That's a lot of years.
It felt like it was a lot longer than that.
12 years is a lot of years.
I guess it just felt long to the people that were around.
Did you know it the whole time? Miranda?
Well, I think because I mean, not that we're codependent or anything, but I think I'd have like questions, but Danielle was so adamant about
I was.
It.
I was so against the whole
that
idea.
I would get sort of like, I was like, okay, well, so she knows what she knows. She knows she doesn't she knows feel she doesn't that way, it. You know? Yeah. And then like other people would say like, why aren't Danielle and Aaron together? Like, what's going on there? And I'd always be like, nothing is going on there.
She gets defensive
there.
For me.
They're,
I got
friends.
Really defensive about it. I don't know. It was, I think because I was sad that I didn't love him in that way. Like, I felt like there's something wrong with me that I don't feel
Can
that way
I
about
ask
him.
What switched? What made it a switch?
Well,
I don't
a lot
remember.
Of we have personal work. I'm sure we talked
but
about all
no,
this.
No, but you and I haven't, I mean, since DHT ended and like, we haven't like really? Spent a lot of time together since then.
But I'm sure,
no, I'm sure
you've heard my
me.
Whole spiel about this.
Yeah, but my listeners haven't.
Well, that's true.
And I don't remember. And well, I have the memory of a goldfish.
I mean, I think of what?
A goldfish.
You have the memory of a. She has the memory of a goldfish.
Oh, of a goldfish. That's
not,
right.
Not
you
she
do.
Remembers.
I was thinking, like, what goldfish? I'm like trying
you don't
to remember.
I have the goldfish. A
no, that's true. That's true. So this will all be new to you, even if you've heard it. No, I had been doing a lot of personal work, but I was single for a long time and didn't understand. Like, it was one of those things where I was sort of like, why? Why do I continue to be single when I want to be in a relationship? Like, I don't understand what's happening that, like, something was blocking me from, I mean, obviously Aaron was there the whole time and I couldn't see him, you know, not that this is like,
I'm interested,
but I don't know.
They even this lived is, together. You
we
know?
Even lived
Remember
together.
When
we
they lived
we
together,
were roommates.
They
yeah.
were roommates.
Anyway, this is, yeah. So I just did a lot of work on myself and Aaron in the meantime was doing all this work on himself. And yeah.
I'll tell you what happened.
Okay, you say it. I can't say it in a concise way.
He got serious about moving on because he had been holding on for so long.
Which, by the way, I tried to get him to date. Yeah, I was trying to get him to date.
It's not like, it wasn't like Danielle was being, I mean, she really believed, you really believed that, you know, that this was, that was just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so then he got really serious about, because he decided that he really, you know, wanted to be in a relationship. Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
well, no, when he called me one night, he was like, you know, I've had this revelation. Like, I'm finally going to let you go. Like, I'm really going to let you go. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of you. And, you know, I was like, does this mean we're not gonna be friends anymore? He's like, no, of course we'll be friends. But like, I'm really, you know, and I was like, he's like, I realize I've been hiding in our friendship and I'm going to stop doing that. And I was like, I'm so excited. I was really genuinely happy for him. And then I hung up the phone and I got into bed and I couldn't sleep. Like, I was like, I just saw my whole like future flash before me. And I was like laying there thinking like suddenly imagining like us being together and like him moving in. And then I realized half the furniture in my house was his already because he'd left it there. And I realized we'd been moving in together for years. And like, but then I woke up the next day and was like, okay, I'm just scared. I'm losing him. I'm not going to say anything. I would never say anything to him ever because I wouldn't want to break his heart. So I just held it for a couple of weeks. And my mom was the one who said, she's like, honey, he's your best friend. You tell him everything. Like, why wouldn't you tell him this? And so I finally, you know, got up the balls to just tell him, you know, like I've been having these weird thoughts. I realize we've never actually dated and I don't know what this means. I don't know if this means I don't know, but maybe we should try dating just to see. And he, you know, to his credit was just, most people would just hang up the phone and be like, fuck off, you know? And he was just like, okay, let's just sleep on it. Let's just sleep on it. Let's see how we feel tomorrow. And let's just kind of take it, you know, one day at a time and just, you know, and we were sort of thinking like, well, we can just like get together and then like just see if we can be romantic and we're buddies, you know? And it was very, I always kept it very platonic because I never wanted to give him the wrong, you know, impression. And so we hung out like that next night and it was like really weird. And like, it just, I don't know. It was just, it didn't, it was weird. And then the next day, you know, we were like, this isn't going to work. And And then Miranda was the one who was like, you know, I think you guys need to, I don't know, I don't think you said court, but I think it was like, you guys need to have like a plan around this. Like it needs, like, I think you guys need to like act like you're like good little Christians and like not try to like kiss each other, not, you know, like have like a rule where you just don't do any of that.
Like, I think I just said, you guys need to actually date each other.
Exactly.
Like, he needs to come and get you and you need to go, hang out together and eat pizza and like do what they'd been doing for however many years.
Yeah. You know? So we were like, okay, so he will be the man, I'll be the woman, he will court me. Like, we'll do this thing, you know? And so, we set a time for a date. And he planned it all. Like, he picked me up at 7 o'clock. He came to my front door, even though he had a key to my house. He like came and knocked on the door.
Aww.
And he had flowers and everything.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
He told me later he thought I was going to laugh at him with the flowers, but aww, I was so touched by it. And then we went on like a first date, and it was a real first date. Like, it was like, and we actually have this memory now of like a first date and a second date. And like, we have this beautiful courtship now because we really had to like shift our friendship into a totally different place. And it actually was so easy. Like, it was like this weird, like, it was one of those things. I had done all these like match dates that summer, and mm-hmm. and I was able to compare my first date with Aaron with all my match dates. And I was like, wow, if this were like a real first date, I would just be like, I'm done. Like, I'm in, this is it.
Right.
Like, this is it. And then it was obvious pretty quickly, you know, because we already knew all the skeletons. So it's like we were dating backwards, you know?
Yeah.
Where it was like, within a month, it was like, all right, we're doing this. It's on, yeah.
And by the way,
that was only like 2 months after the Dodger game. Like, it all happened really fast after that.
Thank you, Janelle, for setting that up.
Thank you, Janelle.
Thank you, Dodger Stadium. You found
well, there
man
was something
singles
to that, actually, because Janelle and I, that next day, were doing that weekend workshop, that cheesy workshop, which ended up being kind of amazing.
Was that one with the lady?
It was the Celebrating Men Satisfying
Women.
Celebrating Men Satisfying Women. Oh, and it's this woman who interviewed men for like 20 years and like collected all this data. And she teaches this weekend workshop to women, like all about men.
Like how to like get a man?
No.
Even that. Like how to understand where they're coming from. Like why, because it's sort of like what we judge in men is that there's meaning behind it.
But one of the things she said in it is look around your life and see all the men that want to give to you. And that could be uncles. It doesn't have to be a romantic partner, but just the men that are trying to give to you, because there's men that want to take and there's men that want to give. And it's funny because I went home that weekend, like I was telling Aaron, going through all my notes and telling Aaron, I was like, what do you think, and he's like, that rings true.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron's kind of like, he's really in touch with this feminine side, so it's like you know, it's kind of on a scale of 1 to 10 of like this sort of like super masculine versus the you know, so it's kind of taking that stereotype, that really masculine sort of stereotype. And but anyway, he was like, yeah, that resonates. Oh yeah, no, there's definitely girls that I've wanted to take from and not give to. And like, he really got that. But of course, Aaron was one of the people that I was like, all he wants to do is give to me. Like, he wants nothing in return. Like, he would spend the weekend writing and he wouldn't want to go out, but I would call him. He said, you're the one person who would call that I would actually leave to go to dinner with, because I wanted I knew that you would meet someone one day. And so I wanted any opportunity to hang out with you, because I knew that our relationship would change after you met someone.
Yeah. Well, real quick. So Janelle from this workshop ended up getting married too. So if I had gone to this workshop with the two of you,
I'm sure we invited
you.
She's
still around. She still has.
She's still around.
Still
Allison
so
Armstrong.
Single.
Allison what? Armstrong.
Allison Armstrong. I can't.
I mean,
other things I have.
You might really like it. I mean, it was one of those things that I made fun of it almost the whole time. But then I was also like, wow, this is really amazing stuff. I mean, it was something I needed to hear, because I really had a thing about it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Danielle, you also have a couple friends that are older than you, mm-hmm. too. And I remember back then, one of them was going through IVF and having a really hard time. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking back then, shitty Molly, naive Molly would think, oh my God, I can't imagine being
single at 39 or 40 years old and trying to fall in love and figure out, you know, what, oh, this is what your baby love series
no,
is
literally
about.
That's one of the things we say in the, yeah, the pitch. Yeah. The pitch is, yeah.
Oh, that you guys were assholes too?
It's we're assholes. So we're a bunch of
well, no, just this idea of like there's all of these women.
But I felt so I would feel that... terrible. I felt, I was like, that's never going to happen to me. And you would talk about that one friend of yours. Yeah. And I was just like, oh my God, I feel so bad for that person and blah, blah, blah. And then Miranda, you ended up finding a guy on Tinder, right? Or
what's OkCupid?
OkCupid, and you guys got married. And I remember seeing people that you weren't older than me, maybe a year
you
or
were,
two, maybe one.
We were
1 year
we're older than you,
maybe
probably.
One it's year okay. older than me. But I remember thinking, like, I hope I don't get to that age in a year. And
I completely hear what you're saying. I mean, I think
And then I ended up at 39 and single and realizing that I needed to figure this shit out. How old were you when you met your man?
38? I don't remember. 38, I think, or 39.
And how old were you when you got married?
41. Yeah. I think I was 41. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I remember being like, oh, thank God. I didn't know you that well. I knew you a little bit, but like it was a good example for me that like that can happen.
Yes.
And then Danielle, a good example that
when Aaron and I started dating, I was 37, right? 37? I think I was 37. Third time around.
But it's like there's so many women out there. I think at one point I read that there was 9% of women over 40 want to have kids but can't be cut, not because of infertility, but because of social infertility.
Oh, I've never heard that expression.
Is that correct? Yeah. I don't know if that's correct anymore. It's not. It's not correct. I mean, it might be correct, but I never read that anywhere. What I do know is that in 2018, 15% of women over 40 didn't have kids. And then at some point about a year ago, I read that 9% of those women are childless by choice, which made me deduce, that the rest of those women want kids but are unable to have them physically or because they don't have access to sperm. But I don't really know what the proportions are. The point is, social infertility is a real thing, I think. I think it was Adam Hooper, the Australian donor, who first introduced me to the term, but it originated to include single and non-heterosexual couples who were previously excluded from the diagnosis of infertility and because of that denied medical coverage. I think, maybe, I don't know. You know what? It's my birthday week, and I can't look into this anymore. I will say that in 2016, the World Health Organization changed their definition of infertility from the failure to achieve pregnancy after 12 months or more of regular unprotected sex to include the inability to find a suitable sexual partner or the lack of sexual relationships which could achieve conception, i.e. vagina, vagina, dick, dick kind of stuff. Back to the gals.
I've never heard that expression.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I mean, it sounds like a shitty term, but like it's true.
Yeah,
I'm socially infertile,
and there's a lot of women like that. That
No, I lied about my age on my OkCupid thing, and didn't know that Todd, my husband, that he like has like crazy weird ability to remember the dates of when movies were made. Like, so I mentioned some movie that like I Can't Buy Me Love, and like anyway,
it was, I love that movie.
And he was like, wait a second, and he started doing the math, and not in like in an asshole way or anything, but he was just like, wait, but I thought you were, you know. And I was like, oh,
I lied.
But and he teased me about it, but I'm like, you know, you don't really like, if I had had
your actual age,
my actual
there,
age, do you think you would have pinged me or whatever it is you do on OkCupid?
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know.
And next week, my Tinder age goes up to 41. And I definitely saw a drop.
Did you see a drop at 40?
I saw a drop at 40 for sure.
Really? I hate that.
Oh, it's because are you in a new, are there age brackets on Tinder? How does that?
I think there are, right?
You set the age that you're interested in. So you're not going to see pictures of anybody that's, for me, I think mine is like maybe 35 to 40, I don't know what it's at right now. Depends on my mood each day. I change it.
And
anyway,
so what's your max on?
I don't know. You want me to look?
I don't know. I just encourage you to raise the roof.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think
raise the max. Yeah,
I
agree.
At certain times, it's up to 50.
Actually.
70. 50?
Oh, my gosh. Bad news. I just looked, and my max is 45. Okay, I'm raising it to 52, but I can't imagine. I can't imagine liking anybody that much older than me.
Oh, get 70. Over yourself,
girl. Because her husband's 12 years older than
13.
Her.
13.
Yeah, but you're young.
He's 45. Maybe older.
You don't
know.
No
one knows.
He doesn't even know.
Like, wait a second. You are. I don't know. Amanda, I'll Google it.
Amanda would never tell her age.
Are you ever?
Except to say. I think I'm 33.
I think I'm 33. I don't know. See, I think it's best to forget your age. What's in the Digger recently said, like, our brains don't know how old we are, so why don't we stop telling our brains how old we are?
Yeah. I have to look up a calculator.
Well, our brain
online.
Does know how old we are.
Well, no, but I mean, really, like, there's a, like, subconscious, like, you know, if you keep talking about the number, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the people that look the youngest are the people that don't. Go on and
or
on
is it
day.
More of an idea of changing the idea of what that age means?
That's true.
It's our physical bodies are 41, but our souls
what
are.
What does that mean? Yeah.
Numberless.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, maybe that's
no,
it.
No, it's so discouraging to see, like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and like, there's Brad Pitt. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. I know he's like a unicorn or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's so good looking, but like, to be celebrated for his body and like,
for the way
everything,
he's aging.
Like, what, how old is he? Like 50?
55 or something?
Yeah.
I haven't seen
but,
it.
But like, you would never see, well, it's I don't like know Brad if you'd never porn. See, but like, you don't see a 55 year old woman like in her bikini. You know what I mean?
Like, and people like lusting after
exactly.
that.
What is that? Or not putting it down like Madonna. You know what I mean? Like, people are like okay, Madonna, you need to like pack it in. Come on. Start wearing age appropriate clothes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's that thing of like, even when plastic surgery or women aging, it's like either they're like, ooh, she's aged, or ooh, she's got some plastic surgery. Like,
she's
like, you're shit if you do, shit if you don't. Like, you can't, I mean, you can't win, really. I mean, it's like, just don't age. That, I mean, that's really
right,
period.
Don't age.
Like, as a, like, die or something. I don't know.
I also have to say, I'm not kidding when I say this. I honestly think I'm getting better looking as I age.
I think so too.
I think so too.
Yeah.
You guys have seen me age, so don't give me your opinions. But like, when I look in the mirror, I feel prettier than I used to feel.
I do too, actually. When I see pictures,
I think you look
stunning. I see pictures of myself when I was in my 20s, and I just think like, I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, my parents sent me a couple pictures the other day that they found on my dad's phone when I was 22, and I'm like, oh God. Like, chubby little face and awkward chin.
That's kind of
nice, really,
though.
I do. Like, I feel good.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a nice feeling to think that it could just get better as you get older, you know, especially the more we love ourselves. And
yeah.
But
I mean, it could be tomorrow that it turns around and
true. Go the other
turn
way.
Into a corpse. Looking like a corpse. But
it might be a steep drop off.
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah.
Until you get to that decline.
Splash Mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm going uphill right now.
Well, you look great. You do.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're glowing.
Thanks. You are glowing.
In fact, I came into this podcast feeling like shit today, but I feel so much better now.
Good.
You do?
Just because you guys are fun and making
good.
Me laugh.
That's good.
Yeah. So you are glowy.
Yeah.
And so now when I came in feeling shitty, and I said I had just been having a pity party in my car and I was crying and all that stuff, I found out you were a therapist, Miranda.
Yes.
I think I knew that. I mean, I must have known something about
therapist.
It when I took your wedding photos.
I guess so. Yeah, because I was that was right before I started my internship. So I was just finishing up school, or I was a year out from graduating.
Are you a marriage and family counselor?
I am. I'm still an associate.
What does that mean?
It means that I'm not licensed yet.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm in practice, but I'm in practice.
If I knew that, then I must have known, because you didn't say that earlier. You're like, I must have heard about this before.
You must have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she could be licensed tomorrow. I mean, it's a matter of just getting the paperwork in. I mean.
Yeah.
Well, you have to what?
I've had a big test to take.
Okay.
And I've been a little resistant.
You're going to do great.
But she has a full client list, and, you know, I mean, she's she's a rock star.
I'm in private practice. And I love it.
I
wish I could work with her, frankly.
Unethical.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of work
dual
with you anyway.
Relationship is what it's called.
She does diagnose me, though. She does. She'll come in and tell me what she's been thinking. She's like, I think you've got a little of this happening and a little of that. I'm like, oh, really? Interesting. Okay, what else?
Interesting.
Yeah. She's very open to it, too, which
I
appreciate.
Totally. Yeah.
You're never like, you know what? Stop.
I'm excited.
Leave me alone.
Stop analyzing me.
You know what I'm realizing, though, now?
What?
That I haven't asked you guys about your babies or anything.
Baby.
That's
shoes.
Okay. God, we talk about them all the time.
It's our whole life.
Well, how many IUIs did you do, Miranda?
Well, I, you know, somehow got
number
very
one.
Lucky. No, number three.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what her insurance paid for, three of them.
Oh, cool.
Basically.
And after
she
was going to move into IVF, probably.
I don't know. I was feeling pretty on the fence about doing IVF.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just thinking about, you know, listening to your show and like how in denial I was. Like now listening to you now and like thinking back to myself, I didn't know any, I mean, everything that you're talking about, I'm like, wait, what? I don't even remember the doctor talking to me about half of this stuff.
I remember, because I remember thinking, this one's got to get on the stick.
I know. She's got to get on it.
She was getting older. I'm like, get some information, go find out what's happening. And I remember you going to see that one doctor who like fed you with all this stuff about fertility.
Oh, yeah. I got so overwhelmed. Yeah. I got so overwhelmed. I was like, okay, shut down.
She didn't go back for another 9 months. Like, it was like,
I was like, okay, I just wanted some information. I didn't want, it was so overwhelming. I mean, she really did overwhelm me, I have to say.
Yeah,
like, she gave me a lot. Mm-hmm. She was like, okay, they need to go get this test. You got to do that. You know, and I was just like, okay. Well, I thought I was just here to, I just really wanted to ask questions. That's all I really wanted. And then I just shut down. So, it took another 9 months, which, I just feel like I must have been in some kind of a bubble or something where I wasn't really trying to get the details.
After that second time, though, the second IUI, I do remember you being a little like, if it doesn't work again.
Yeah, I felt like if it doesn't work again, we're not going to have any, there won't be any money left. And I was so overwhelmed by the IVF and by, if it doesn't work, like I have all this school debt. I have, you know what I mean? Like I just was, it was so overwhelming.
You had, like you were not, I seem to remember that you were like, you didn't want to do IVF, but then after that second time you were like, all of a sudden there was a little, the door opened a little and you were like, maybe we could put on credit cards. Like I remember it like, you know.
And I've got that going through my mind too. Mm-hmm. And I have all this credit card debt that I've been trying to get lower over since I started the podcast, but it hasn't gone any lower. And now I'm going to put more on it. Oh my God. But also, I've got other options, too. My parents are offering, you know, this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I've really loved with the guest you had on who talked about, you know.
Pamela.
Pamela. Mm-hmm. I really liked her. She's so sweet. But, like, what she said about receiving it and really letting your parents do that.
Well, I guess I worry that, like, what if it doesn't work that time? Then what? And then another time? Because the average times that IVF works, according to my acupuncturist, is 2.7 times. So
what? You're kidding.
But I guess you don't start IVF unless you have a lot of people don't start IVF until they're, you know, having fertility problems. So it makes sense.
It could be. I mean, it's such a, when the third IUI came, I was like, there's no way this is happening. You know, it's already been two times. What's going to be different about this time? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, literally like Danielle was the first person I called. I didn't call my husband.
Oh my God.
Because I was just in such a state of
disbelief. I
remember
I was on the 110 freeway.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was,
and
like,
could you have five false positives?
I saw the first, because I'd had
spotting and I was like, and I didn't feel right. And I just, it was just the whole thing. And I was like, it's done, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, the feeling, and it's just awful. It's an awful feeling. And then I was like, wait a second. No, that can't be right. Hold on. And I did another one. And then I was like, well, maybe this is like an old
stick. Honestly, I don't think you can have a false positive with a P test because you don't have that hormone in it.
I mean, like, I literally had to pee on it like five times before I would.
Times.
Then I called and I was like, can you?
I'm so excited. Because I'd had a dream or something, right? Didn't I have some weird... I thought I had some weird thing about you being pregnant.
Probably.
Yeah, it was just like a... Yeah. It's just crazy.
Well, my best friend has dreams about me getting pregnant all the time.
Really?
And it hasn't worked yet, Jessica. So get on it.
Just yet.
Called her in the car before I came here.
Really?
And I got a little cry out that I needed to get out. And that's why I had the
Well, what was your cry about?
Oh, I'm just feeling...
Just tell us.
I'm just feeling not great about my career and success. And I don't want to cry. So I'm not going to talk about it. It's fine. No crime meter, Amanda?
I believe we're at like a 9.5.
But it's gone now. I already feel like it's gone.
Oh, good.
But it could. I could. Oh, man. If I let it go.
We might be off the charts.
Yeah, it would be bad.
No, but I'm fine.
A lot of my friends are, and this is, I might cut this, but everybody's having such wonderful successes. I'm talking about web crawlers. I love it.
What happened to them?
Well, they're just, I get to see their numbers because I edit their podcast and their numbers are shooting through the roof and mine are doing what they do. And it's, but.
You edit their podcast?
Yeah, I edit another podcast.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I like it. I like doing it.
Well, I will say it's the same for the big ones, which is the podcast that I've been doing for a while. It's like, they're just, we were ahead of the curve. Let's just say I know. That.
Yeah. And we're now in, like, I'm in season three, which nobody's going to be, like, jumping through the roof to post about a season three podcast. But, you know, people are getting... people are getting attention.
Yeah. But jealousy is an interesting thing because it's like, it doesn't, of course we know that you're happy for everyone, but yeah. it's like, yeah. it's just when someone has something that you want, it's, yeah. you have just these feelings.
Talking about this on the way here. It's so
yeah,
funny.
Talking about destructive envy. Destructive envy versus oh. envy, you know.
Oh, like we're versus together? Envy. Mm-hmm. Oh, tell us about destructive tell envy. Us.
Take it away,
when
Miranda.
Something, oh, gosh. Destructive envy is just what it sounds like. It's not always conscious for people. It can be an unconscious thing. So it's the feeling when something kind of wants to, it's not like a healthy competition. So healthy competition is the part of you that can look at somebody and see what they have and say, God, like I want that, mm-hmm. you know, and how did they get that? And how could I get that? And I want to get some of that, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you don't feel all your feelings, but you don't feel like, and now I, you know, like I need to crush their spirit. You know what I mean? Right, like right. you're not going to push the lead down the stairs. You know what I mean? Because you right. want to go break on and leg. Play that. Yeah.
Sabotage you're love not crawlers.
Gonna, oh my, yeah. yeah. I mean, it's not that having jealousy or having envy is bad, you know, but it's when it either is something that is used to push other people down and that you can't tolerate somebody else's success or the good things that are happening to them. Or when it's used to kind of crush yourself or to, you know.
That's what we were talking about in relationship to like having destructive envy directed at you. That like yeah. our experience is to sort of like do whatever we can to make sure that no one's feeling that way.
Yeah. Right.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Like deflecting. Just, so I'll just be. I'm not threatening.
Yeah. I'll just so make nice, sure that so I don't sweet. Get too. You know,
big,
good or big or pretty.
Right, or I won't celebrate too hard because exactly. I don't want other people to feel. Sad.
Yeah. And I'll always right. be self-deprecating and I'll always, because I just yeah. want to make sure that no one like cuts my head off. You know what I mean? It's yeah. like a, you know, like I, growing up, I had a lot of, I loved my girlfriends. Like I fell in love with my girlfriends and I had so many friends that were so mean to me that really, it's just, yeah, mean girl stuff. You yeah. know, I mean, second grade, my one of my best friends who I adored used to tell me I was skinny and ugly. And I mean, she was just like really just abusive, you know, yeah. but I would come home and cry to my mom. I was devastated by it. My mom was always like, honey, they're just jealous. So I started to think, okay, well, I've got to figure out a way to just make sure no one ever gets jealous again. Like I just got to figure it out because it's so painful
everybody.
To lose this love. Yeah. I love these people and I'm losing yeah. them and I'm doing something to make them feel. And by the way, whether or not that was even true,
right?
Like that's just something my mom said because she had nothing. She didn't know what else to say. Like no, the best answer would have been like, honey, we don't know. We don't have these. We don't. I mean, well, maybe not. I mean, I
no,
don't know.
I mean, I but mean, to say it's okay.
Because I think about that with Evan. Like if he came home and
Evan
had that
is
experience.
Your son.
Yeah, I would. I like the true truth is we don't know why someone behaves that way. Mm-hmm. It's hard mm-hmm. to be on the receiving end of that. Right.
But sometimes we might know why they're doing it.
Really?
You know, because they are jealous and it doesn't yeah. mean that they it doesn't they have a wound. You yeah. know, your second grade, you know, there was something going on there
yeah.
that was feeling so, you know, so stirred up and jealous, you know, yeah. but that wasn't getting helped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, I don't think it's bad to say to somebody like, you know,
they're
you're
jealous. Yeah.
Yeah. Or they may feel really, really jealous or really feel. Yeah. And sometimes people can talk about that and sometimes they can't, you know, or they use.
Because then it sort of normalizes envy in a way where it's not like this scary thing to.
Yeah. So in yeah. other words, like, I think it's, but I, well, I don't know. Now I'm analyzing you.
Me go. Oh, I want you to. I want you to. Oh my God. Amanda's getting
no,
really
get her,
excited.
Get her.
Please.
Well, no, I think it's like, because when I look at you, you know, gosh, when
sparkly.
I, when you were, yeah.
She's
and when
sparkly.
You're doing all of your yeah. like bachelorette stuff mm-hmm. and this, and you know, I'm so impressed. I mean, there's a part, I literally am like, God, she knows how to not only like, make the content. She's so funny. You're so real in those bachelor. I mean, you were, yeah. I mean, honestly, like it just made so me cry
stupid.
Laughing. It was so,
so
funny.
Stupid.
And then you also like did it all yourself,
yeah.
which
yeah.
to me is something that I feel really envious of in like yeah. a, in a good way, which is like, God, like I wish I want to do that. I want to, yeah. I want to make our own stuff and
yeah.
like
yeah.
have that kind of, to me, that's so, what's the word? Like so competent. Like you have so mm-hmm. much competence as well as
that's
all your
a
talent.
Huge compliment. I actually yeah. think being called competent is one of like the nicest things you can be called.
I agree.
Yeah. yeah.
And I don't mean to diminish the talent part because I feel like yeah. obviously that, I mean, that's all right there, you know, but I I think you are devaluing yourself.
Well, what if I believe these things that you're saying and I'm pissed off that the world doesn't? Maybe the wrong belief is that people don't see that. I don't know. I just don't know why I don't have any success if these things are true.
Yeah, I think that that's so hard, and I experience that all the time. But it's like, it's because in this industry, what you think of as success is 100% always outside validation. And the people who are going to give that to you are a lot of times like dumb nobodies that who cares what they think, but they're the gatekeepers. So I deal with this too.
Or they're people with destructive envy.
Totally. Yeah. So in a way, it's like, am I being creative? Am I artistically fulfilled? Of course you'd like to have a more lucrative career, but it's tough. But you're doing so much more than so many people just because you're living what you want to do.
Exactly.
And like putting stuff out there.
But then like not being, I guess, frustrated around it, or maybe you need to get more in contact with that part that look and ask yourself in a like non-attacky kind of way, like not attacking yourself or not judging yourself or being competitive in a negative way. If something can really ask, well, what are they doing that I'm not doing? You know, because that's a question that's not a bad question to ask if you're really asking it, you know, like the curiosity. Like there's a difference between asking a question and attacking yourself. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So are you really asking the question, or are you actually like, what's wrong with me? You know what I mean? Why are not that? That's different than being
instead
like, okay,
inquisitive. Like what is it? Really
is there something?
I'm curious. Like, what is there something that I'm missing here that I could try, or, you know?
But I feel like I'm trying all these things all the time and not really getting much back. Cry meter.
Oh, no.
No, but I just.
Are you
I don't
receiving?
Get it.
Are you receiving it from where you are getting it though? Like, are you taking it in from the people that are?
I think so, because I look at these. stupid.
It's not stupid at all.
No.
I look at my iTunes, like my reviews for Spermcast, and they're wonderful, and they make me feel wonderful. So I'm receiving those. Well, then I think what if my ego is just too big?
No, I don't think your ego is too big.
What if I like myself too much?
Listen, you like yourself far too much.
What if I? What if I think I think I'm getting more beautiful as I get older? I think I'm competent. I think I'm talented. What if all these things are not? What if I think I'm too great?
I don't think that's possible. I don't think that's possible. I think you also, you know, we are in a business that is very. It's tough, you know, and it's. And it's easier to think that it's something about ourselves than it is to, you know, if you're doing the work and you're doing all of these things and you're taking it in and you're receiving it and you're continuing, you don't let it keep you from making more stuff and you're doing it. Then at a certain point, there is that part that's like
surrender.
Yeah. The shitty part of this business is the parts that we don't have control over, you know? And I think you're already doing that. I mean, it's inspiring to me.
I know
it's inspiring to Danielle. Yeah. Like you've taken it in hand, you know what I mean? And, you know, but I mean, I certainly understand. I stopped acting because it just was too, and I wasn't doing half the stuff that you're doing. You know, I just got to a point where I was like, I hate auditioning. It makes me feel so bad, you know.
But, Aaron, he gets really frustrated. Yeah. With he's a writer and he gets really, he goes through times where he gets really down because he works his ass off and he puts out really great stuff. And one of the things I always say to him is like, well, babe, what else are you going to do? I mean, I don't know if this is, I think it's helpful at times, but I'm like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Are you going to stop writing? Of course you're not going to stop writing.
Yeah.
You just keep doing what you do. You know, I mean, it's not that it's okay to get sad. It's okay to like, you have to. I mean, how can you not, you know? But at the same time, it's like, but is there anything else you would wake up and choose to do? You know, and if
make
there is
jam.
Something.
Make jam and crochet and make aprons. But that's the only other thing I can think of.
And you can still do that.
Yeah, you can do those things.
Those things. Have an Etsy shop.
Yeah, I mean, and then it's like what you're offering here is such a service, like being of service to women. I mean, this isn't something that every person, I mean, everybody should listen to it because I think it's, you know, it could touch anybody just because it's touching, you know, and, mm-hmm. and there's so much that's real and beautiful about what you're sharing. But I think, you know, we were talking about the other day, I was like, man, I would have loved to have had,
oh yeah,
you know, this to listen to.
Yeah, I think it's such an incredible resource.
I would have felt
for women.
So
yeah,
much less alone. And I mean, yeah, it took Danielle telling me to like get on the stick, and I was really, it kind of was alarming to me when
is
she
that
said
a
it.
Saying I've never heard that stick. Before.
I think so.
I don't know.
Look it up, Amanda.
I mean, you could think of
it. I like it.
Get on the stick. You got to get on it. Get on that stick shift.
Think of it as like the ultrasound wand.
Get that stick and get it up your.
You want to put
it up
there.
Up your badge.
It means to get busy, get going, or get down to work, and it dates from the early
1900s. Wow.
And it comes from get on the stick from anyway.
It comes from the idea of getting a car going by using the gear shift.
Wow. That makes sense. Stick shift. Yeah.
Wow. Get on the stick. Yeah. That's the title of this episode.
So Freudian.
Well, I remember. I read
Miranda.
Okay, greenlit.
Oh my god, so dumb. When I was like, I think I was like 30 years old, this Time article came out that was like all about like fertility and women.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah. That was not was so... very true.
It wasn't?
Well, like data that came from was from like 1600s in rural France or
really?
Something like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing I got from the article is just, you know, all
hurry
of these
up.
Women are waiting until they're into their 40s and... Because
okay,
of all
maybe
these celebrities.
I just made up that. I mean, I didn't make that up, but I don't know what article you're talking about.
Oh, that's
about.
True. You have no idea. I love it. You're like, I know the time. No.
I'm going to find that article and cut away to it right now.
By the way, it wasn't an article. It was like a front page. It was like on the front page. It was like a whole thing. And I remember being like, oh, wow. Like, it really, for me, it blew my mind because I was like, oh, I didn't know. Like, I was thinking, I just wait forever.
Yeah.
Like, I have plenty of time. You know, because all these celebrities get knocked
I hated
up
that
when
article when Danielle read
old.
It. I was like, I don't want to know about this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to
avoid it. Block it out.
Yeah.
It's one of those things if you know you want kids, you know, and to know about your body and to just get as much information as possible. And you never know what's going to happen, but it's like at least you're armed with...
Yeah.
You know, some knowledge. And
I was armed with no knowledge.
Yeah, that's true. She was
I was like,
blind.
You ended up, okay.
It
you got
out.
That man, you got that baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your baby's name?
Her name is Jessie.
Oh, Jessie.
She's Jessie real
Elizabeth.
Sweet.
Yeah.
She's a real rascal baby.
She is a rascal.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Danielle, where were you? Were you when you peed on a stick? But how'd you find out you were pregnant?
How did I find out? I peed on a stick. Yeah.
You were trying?
Yeah. We got married and
got pregnant right out the
got
gate.
Pregnant. No,
she was like, I'm going to go off the pill and I'm just going to, you know, but it's going to take, I'm sure it's going to take forever.
I had been on the pill for like 20 years and I,
you slut.
I know.
I was such
don't
an
tell
well, it was
anyone.
Please don't tell anyone. Yeah, no, it actually, yeah, it was fast. It was fast. It was, and it was one of those things where it was a little like,
jarring.
We thought we were going to have more time to kind of get, you know, so we were both in shock the first couple of months.
Well, my story is that we went out for New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah.
And Danielle, who, if you can't see her, listeners, but she's quite slim. And
she gained some weight.
No, we were going out for New Year's Eve, and you were like, God, I feel so bloated. Immediately, my instinct just to be like, oh, come on, no, you're not. And then I looked and I was like, oh, I don't think I've ever
bloated.
Seen. She's a little bloated. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Danielle bloated. In the back of my mind, I was like, maybe she's pregnant. And I was like, oh, no, that's not. And then we went out and party.
Got wasted.
It was so much fun. No. And then I think
then
like
I was,
the next
I was yeah,
like,
I was just like late.
Two
I
days
was late.
Later or something. I felt like it was really
it
fast.
It was like five days
that.
Later, 4 or 5 days later. And I was like a couple days late. And then I was like, eh. And then another couple days went by. And then I was like, I guess I'll run to the Rite Aid and just grab, you know, thing and see. But we had been trying. So it wasn't like one of those like, am I pregnant? We haven't even been trying. I mean, we definitely were like, we tried. It wasn't like when I went off the pill 2 weeks later, I ovulated. Like
you knew.
It was crazy. Yeah.
I
and
don't
I
never know.
Ovulated.
I pay attention to it, but I don't feel anything. What did you feel? People do feel things.
I got clear gel.
Oh, you're talking about
the full clear
the cervical
gel thing.
Mucus.
Is that what
the
that
mucus.
Is?
Okay. You don't get the little ping-pang.
I don't get
pingies.
A ping-pang.
Sometimes I get the
ping-pang.
Yeah.
Do you get a ping-pang?
I get a ping-pang, yeah.
Wow.
But it's not like every time.
I feel
it's
like
just
I get
if I notice it.
I feel like I have that on and off all the time.
But like when you're on the pill, you don't ovulate, right?
Right.
Yeah, because I didn't, for all those years, I didn't ovulate. Yes. So it was so crazy, like 2 weeks later, because my doctor, because I was like, I talked to my doctor about it. I was like, well, so I'm going to go off the pill and we're going to try to get pregnant. But I mean, is it going to be a while? You know, because I kept reading these conflicting things about it. And she was like, no, you should, 2 weeks later, you should start ovulating. I mean, that's how it works, you know? And I was like, all right. And it did. Like, I was like, oh, okay. There we go, you know?
That's so amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So it was definitely...
That's our cue. Don't know if you heard that, but the vacuum cleaner came on very loudly in the next room.
That is our cue. We have him do that.
Yeah, that's just it. That's
like our passive aggressive way of winding.
Yeah, so,
let's wind it down.
Let's wrap it up, guys. Let's wrap it up.
Wrapping it up.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I feel like I don't know. What did I do today? Did we get into?
I don't know. I don't know if you got anything. Did you get anything?
Yeah, I got a lot of things. But I'm like,
how are you going to cut this together? There's going to be like.
I'm just going to leave it. As
honestly, I love this conversation.
I love it too.
I think everything we talked about was so fun, even starting with the story of how you started dating your husband.
I'm not cutting anything.
Yeah, I don't think you need to feel bad.
I mean, if you cut stuff, it's fine. Cut through, watch, we listen to it. We're like, are we on there? Oh, we're not even on there.
Oh, we're not. All right. Okay. No, that's okay. No, we don't mind. Molly loves us. We know she loves us, right? She does, doesn't she? Was this destructive envy? Does she hate us?
I cut you guys completely out and it's just me talking.
That would be amazing.
Or you only keep the part where they're giving you compliments.
Yeah,
just that part.
Podcast.
Thank you guys so much. And
I love you, Molly.
I don't know. Whatever. I mean, thank you for coming here and complimenting me a lot. And that felt great.
And
thank you for changing my mood.
Oh, good.
I feel so much better now.
I'm glad.
I really do.
We love you, and we love your podcast.
Yeah, we do.
Love you guys.
We're gonna keep listening. Good.
Thank you.
Might not listen to this episode, but I will listen to this.
Yeah, I probably listen to this.
I don't like hearing my own voice. But
you don't like watching yourself.
I don't. I can't stand it.
Oh my God, that's
wild. No.
You should watch yourself.
That's going to change.
I should watch myself.
Oh my God, yes.
No.
See, that's what I'm saying. I watch everything I do like 8,000 times. I love myself.
You're a unique creature because I do not feel that way.
Yeah, I don't. There's also a part of me that like feels like once I've done something, it's like it's kind of boring to watch it because I've already done it. So. You know what I mean? It's sort of like I might watch it once just to kind of see how it ended up looking, but then it's just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe I have a weird, maybe there's, I'm sure there's something random. I'm sure there's something she's going to tell me about in the car. In the car, she's going to be like, repressed.
Trying to.
Okay. Thank you guys so much. Love you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Amanda.
Well, shit. Thanks for sticking around, everybody. I want you to know that I'm no longer in self-pity mode. It happens every now and again. Like, I do a great job of staying happy most of the time, but every now and again, reality knocks me down or pessimism creeps in. But I get back up and I'm just fine. Plus, at least I'm not having panic attacks. Remember this time last year? I was a fucking wreck. And I'm not on any Lexapro anymore or Prilosec. I mean, I'm feeling really great. And no matter what happens this week or next month, I'm getting closer and closer to having my baby. And you know what else? I'm really excited about some of the guests that I have coming up. There are my friends, Mo and Sam, who are married. And Mo is 9 months pregnant with donor sperm. And I used to have a crush on Mo. So this combo gets crazy. And then there's Dr. G. He's a naturopath. And I've never met him in person. But I'm a big fan of his podcast, Heal Thyself. And I'm sure I'm going to get all tongue-tied talking to him. Because he's so smart and like 20 years younger and cooler than me. And he's going to tell us all about environmental toxins and their effect on sperm quality and female fertility. And if I'm lucky, he'll drop some knowledge bombs on plastic and tampons. Ooh, it's gonna be fun. We're also gonna have a gal on whose son has autism, and this one's very personal to me because I have a niece with autism. And I have another friend who's a mom who's dying to come on the show and scream and holler about her experience with endometriosis. I know. So you see, I'm good. I really do feel good. I mean it. And how could I not? I am gorgeous. Now, as you all know, I'm very chill and not thinking about my two-week wait at all. But for those of you who are on the edge of your seats, don't worry. I'll be posting on Patreon as soon as I know anything. My guess is I'll know by Thursday. Speaking of Patreon, thank you to my new Patreon subscribers, Willem Meter and Cece Murray. And thank you to JD for upping your pledge. Wow, 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 wowie. Thank you so much. Now, listen, everybody, don't forget to go to babyloveseries.com and watch Danielle and Miranda's show, Baby Love. It's really so, so funny, and the two of them together are ridiculous. I'll put a link to it in my show notes. You know what else I'm going to have in my show notes? A link to my Patreon, patreon.com/spermcast, but I'll also have a link to my website, spermcastpod.com, and my email, spermcast@gmail.com, and my phone number, 323-741-1818, where you can text or leave a voicemail. I'll also have links to all of our social media accounts. For instance, on Instagram, you can find me at Spermcast or Molly Hawkey, or you can find Amanda at Amanda Fun Buns, or you can find Danielle and Miranda at Baby Love Series. As always, subscribe, rate, and review. And hey, go and listen to Web Crawlers, the other podcast that I edit that I said I was jealous of earlier. I am not jealous. I'm so happy for them. Web Crawlers is hosted by my pals Melissa Stetton and Ali Siegel, and they go down every online rabbit hole, uncovering the truth behind some weird, unsolved mysteries. It's really, really a great show. All right. I love you, everybody. Talk to you soon. Happy birthday to me.
He could be bald and bearded, shorter or tall. Funny, smart, love basketball. From gay to straight, black to white. Tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need sperm. Spermcast.
An Erios production.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.